Well, did you enjoy the McCormick's? Amen. You enjoy the McCormick's?
Amen.
I thought you didn't catch me the first time, did you? Amen. 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 Appreciate it. Thank you very much, folks. I appreciate you being here. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, if you will. Anybody did not get a worksheet that would like to have one, raise your hand. I'll come by and give you one. A couple down front here. Okay. Just keep your hand up till they get there. John chapter 1, we're working our way through the Gospels. We did Matthew all the way through, verse by verse. We did Mark, all the ones that wasn't part of the other Gospels. And we did Luke, the ones that weren't part of the other Gospels. Now we're in John. And there's quite a bit different in John. Not that it's a different story, but it's a different purpose. And so there's some things that he has given account of that the other three, the synoptic Gospels, do not. And there's some doctrine in here. And that's where we are in these first chapter. We really haven't gone very far. There's a lot of doctrine. And remember, John, the Gospel of John, is representing Jesus Christ as Son of God. We got Matthew as the king, Mark the servant, Luke the son of man, and John the son of God. He's God. He's God. We got to remember, he's God. Everything changes. He's not a myth. He's not just a fairy tale. He's not some kind of psychosis that religious people have. It's God. There's something. It's real. God is not tangible that we could touch him. But even Moses saw him who is invisible. And there's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing. And it's not a fairy tale. But you have to be willing to see God if you're going to see him. Sounds kind of strange, but that's where we are. John chapter 1, verse number 1. And Lord willing, the last couple of messages will come back to your mind as we go through this, because I don't want to spend a lot of time re-preaching those things. But there are some principles we covered already that we're using to compound into the message we have. John chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "In the beginning of everything was the Word, Logos," the expression of God. God and the expression of God. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him." By who? The Word. That's the subject right there. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So he gets it from both sides, so you can't misunderstand. He made everything. Well, maybe everything, but no, he made everything. He made it all. He made dogs. Now, all the dogs we have came from the dogs he made. And they were always dogs. And they will always be dogs. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to be something else. They're going to be dogs, all right? So we got dogs. There has been some change. There wasn't always a cockapoo, schnickel, whatever those things are these days, you know. They weren't always one of those, but they're all from dogs, okay? They're all from dogs. Now, listen, verse 4. This is very important here. "In him," the Word, by the way, the Word was God and was with God. So the word in him is not only the Word, but it's God, okay, in him. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Where does life come from? God. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It comes from God. "In him was life." Number 5. "And the light," the expression of God's life, the energy, "shineth in darkness, and the darkness didn't know what to do with it. It comprehended it not." Verse 8. I'm sorry. Let me skip down here to verse 9. It talks about John the Baptist there for a second, but we don't want to get sidetracked. Verse 9, "that light was the true light," which verse 9, "which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. "He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Watch. "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Now let me say this. It's exactly the way it was supposed to be translated, but to make sure that you understand. He says these people who were able to become sons of God were born. That's how you become a son. you're born. Okay, these were given power to become sons of God. They were born not of blood. They were born not of the will of man. They were born not of the will of the flesh, but they were born of God. Okay, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray and see how far we can go here this evening. Receiving new life. Now, this is one of those things we understand, we talk about, but sometimes though we will profess it, we don't actually make our decisions and work our ministries according to this fact. We've got to be careful with this. We are born of God. So we're talking about receiving new life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for Your blessings. And again, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You've given us everything that we need. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh. And yet, Lord, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And it's right here in front of us. And You put it in black and white so we have a more sure word of truth. And these men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, given that energy, that life-giving power, so to speak, from God Himself. Lord, we thank You for what you've given us. You've given us the Word of God here. Now, Lord, I need Your Holy Spirit to guide me, to teach us all, to speak to all of our hearts. May each of us have an open heart to hear from Your Word here. Whatever the need is in each one of our hearts, we might not even know it's a need. But, Lord, whatever needs to be done here this evening, I pray that you will do it in Your power, and we'll give the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. When Adam and Eve sinned, they died. We say, well, they must have, because God told them that the day they eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. But what died? Their spirit died. Their ability to have a relationship with God died. It's kind of like when they were over here working on the kitchen, and it's all coming along, but you throw a breaker, and all of a sudden you have a dead receptacle. It might have been alive, but we've cut the power. We've cut the relationship. It's now a dead circuit. When they sinned against God, God said, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. You will be separated. They were separated from God spiritually. And God also separated them from life. In Genesis 3:22, it says this, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. They could not go to the tree of life and live forever. The state of sin, now watch me, the state of sin and separation since Adam's time has now been passed down to every generation. Only life can beget life. Man is dead, separated from sin because of his trespasses and sins. So only God can make us alive again. First Corinthians 15:14. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That quickening means to make alive, to vitalize, to give life. So Jesus came to give life. In him was life. So he's a quickening spirit. Romans 5:1 says this, wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are born dead spiritually. Ephesians 2:1 says this, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, our natural being, having the genes coming down from father to son, the father to son, father and son, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created, born of God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, considering what I just said, ye must be born again. Now on your paper, let me give you number one. I'm going to go real quick through the first couple here because they're review, but I want you to have them in your mind. Life is in God and only God. Life is in God and only God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, I'm not sure I know the right word to call it, but life is that energy of God, that self-existing energy of God that brings life, vitality. It's life. Only he can take a pile of dirt, form it into a man, and poof, make it into life. Life is in him. Nothing can bring forth life except life. Nothing dead has ever brought forth life. So all of evolution, as far as the creation of life itself, has nothing to do with it. Now we all know that you know our kids kind of look like a little bit of us, a little bit about the dad, and a bit like the mom, and so there's changes and things and so things like that. And the fact is, you know, why don't we see a lot of white bears down here? Because they would stick out like a sore thumb, they'd be shot. Okay, well, that's true. So what do you see down here? Black bear and brown, you know, you're going to see that. Why is it that they live up by the top? They didn't turn white because they lived up there. They're living because they're up there, and they shot the rest of them. You know what I mean? I mean, years ago, whatever it was, the Ice Age, whatever it was, I mean, it could have been anything, but they're going to live better, have a good, and that's true. I understand that. But only life can bring forth life. And the bears still only bring forth bears. No bear ever gave birth to a peacock. So, life is in God and only God. Number two, the life, that energy of God, is the light of man. The light of man. What it says, in him was life, and life was the light of man. The energy of God's life-giving power is radiated to all men through creation, the expression of life. Wherever God is life. Whatever God touches lives. It's life. And so that expresses who God is. If there is life, God's been there. And let me say it again. There's supposed to be a real big amen right there. If there's life, God's been there. Yes. It didn't happen any other way. If there's life, God's been there somewhere. Nothing else can radiate life. Other things can reflect life. But evolution kind of, they conveniently start with something. But where did life come from? Just as the sun radiates energy, the moon reflects that energy. But it's not the light. God is the light as it gives off life, and we reflect what God is. But you take God out of this, we're all dead, because in him all things consist. Number three, not everyone accepts the light. It's everywhere because God's everywhere, but not everyone accepts the light. He came into his own received him not. Letter B, those that refuse the light by default refuse life. Again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we talked about it the last couple weeks. Those that refuse the light by default refuse the life. If you turn away the light, which is expressive of who he is, then you've rejected who he is. And he is life. How many times have I said, you know, when we turn our back on God, we're also turning our back on the blessings. We want God to bless, but I don't like that. Well, I'll wait around until he starts blessing, then I'll come to him. That's where the spout is, where the blessings come out, next to him. You're going to run away from God, you're running away from the blessings. Number four, those that receive the light can have life. Those that receive the light can have life. Watch verse 12. But as many as received him, accepted the light, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, when it says receive, those who received him, that means, here it is, number one, to take to oneself. Those who saw that light and took it, received it, took it, basically wanted to take possession, ownership of it. See, some people repel it. They rebel against it. They don't want it. It's repulsed by it. Some who see the light want the light. Those who receive the light and realize who it is are on the right path. They're not there yet, but they're receiving the light. Now watch. To those who receive the light, to them gave he power. There it is. The right, the privilege, the force, the capacity, the authority. To them gave he the right to become the sons of God. Well, what's a son of God? Well, it's a child. One that has been produced by another. Now, most of you didn't really know my dad all that well, but if you saw my dad, you saw me. I remember this has been some years ago, but I was walking down through Hampstead, the town I grew up in, and it was Hampstead Day, and all the vendors are out there, and they have all the yard sales and so forth. And Janet and I were walking down the street, and all of a sudden I heard from behind me, "Mr. Walsh, Mr. Walsh!" And I turn around, here's this guy. And he starts talking to me. And he started talking about what he had done with his house. And how he had got the siding painted, and he got some windows changed, and he put a new furnace in, just like I had told him to do. And all of a sudden I realized he thought I was my dad who sold him the house as a realtor. Now, we walk the same way. We have the same round shoulders. Our heads always walk a little bit faster than our feet can. You know, we're always thinking faster than we can move. Walls don't move real fast. And we sound alike. You pick up the phone, we sound just like one another. Sterl, my young son, sounds, if you really do, we sound alike. Nathan was someplace singing. He all thought it was me the other day. And it just, we sound alike. That's because there's a common gene, so to speak. There is a progression of life, if you will, physical life, from my father through us. I am his son because I issued out of him. You follow what I'm saying? I am him. I'm an extension. His life came right through my life, and I am much like him because of having been his son. So he says, to those that received him, to them gave them the right, watch, the right to become, not just called, but become the child of God, to be produced by God, to have a life inside of us that is produced by God. It would not have, in other words, that life would not have existed except that the parent brought it into life. I would not have existed if my father hadn't brought me to life, but I also wouldn't have eternal life if my heavenly father had not born me again, if you use that terminology, as his son. The living God brings forth living children spiritually. Number four, the word says believe. They gave them the power, the right to become the sons of God, but what do they must do? They must believe. Here it is, to rest one's faith in or with respect to. To rest it in there. There it is, I'm not taking it away. If I realize that in him is life, and he's the giver of life, then where am I going to get life? From him, nowhere else. to those that believe on his name. Number five, that means all that is referred to by the name, his character, his authority, his power, the Godhead. So we must confess the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We've got to believe that he is who he says he is. We do. But if we do, we accept the light that he's given us, we have the right to become his child, to be made alive spiritually. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Letter B. Those that receive the light receive life, and thus they are born again. If you are willing to accept the light as truth, you then have the right and the privilege to become born. I'm using these terms. I know it's a little funny grammar there. To become born as a child of God. That is, if you place one's heartfelt faith in all that Jesus is and in what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, he will make you alive. Number five. Only God has the life that can make us alive again. I know you know these things, but I'm going to say a few things in the end. So we don't necessarily live by this. We think we live by this, but we don't live by this very often. Or I should say many folks don't. Number five, only God has the life that can make us alive again. When Adam and Eve were born, he breathed into them the breath of life. But when they sinned, they were going to die. Now, they were alive. I mean, there was a body there before he breathed in them the breath of life. But he gave them that living soul. But that soul, so to speak, though it's eternal, it cannot be annihilated. It was dead in separation by being separated from life. Okay? Now, just kind of hang tight with it. Verse 13. So, let me back up, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, verse 13, underneath number 5, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That word born there is the word procreated, regenerated, conceived. Here's a word, made alive. Those who received him were made alive in Christ. Well, you say, well, I'm alive now. Not your soul. Your spirit is dead. I'm sorry, your spirit is dead. Your soul has no relationship with God. Your spirit is dead. It's got to be made alive. Somebody's got to turn the switch on again. But we have no right to go into his presence because of sin. So the sin must be dealt with, paid for, attended to, atoned, whatever you want to call it, to be so that we can go back into his presence. Now, if we were to look at John 3:1-8, just turn a couple pages, John 3:1. Might be one page or so. John 3. You know this story. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees, meaning he was a Hebrew scholar. He should have known the book, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what word does one have to do with the other? He says, there's something about you that's different than everybody else. You have abilities that no one else has. You have a connection with God that no one else has. Why? He's alive. Nicodemus is dead. He says, you know what the difference is? You look at me, you say, there's something different about you. I'll tell you what that difference is. You are dead, and I'm alive. And you need to be made alive again. He says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, well, how can a man be born when he's old? What, can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born? He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." And it's the flesh that gets us into trouble. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. So if your spirit's not alive, you must be born again. That spirit must be brought back to life. And I'll explain what the again it means here in a moment. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. He says, you know, when you're born of the Spirit, something happens on the inside. Now, you're not going to see fireworks. You're not going to hear. You're not going to have an earthquake. You're not going to hear the thunder and the lightning. Not all this stuff's going to go on, but that still small voice is going to come in, and you're going to be made alive. It's almost as if when you put those dead seeds in the ground, and you think, how in the world could those things ever come back to life? You get to put those old dry things in there, and sure enough. But you know what? Why we can do that? Because you die to self. You want to be made alive? Be willing to die. Let the flesh go away. Say, I don't need that. What I need is Him. Now, so it means procreated, regenerated, made alive. Now look at the word number two. It's the word that says born again, born from above. That's true. It means born as from the first. To have the light that was lost because of sin put back into the soul as it was from the beginning. Born again. Adam was born of God. He was called the Son of God. And God said, listen, when we believe, we have the power, the right to be called the Son of God. The right to say that we have God's life issuing, piercing through us. It's part of who we are. But that's not going to happen as long as our sins are still on our account. And so he says, you can be born, have the life reinstituted. Have that life reinstituted again. So letter C, we must be born from above again. So being born again in the flesh or in attitude is not enough because we're still dead. We're separated from God in our trespasses and sins. Now hang tight with me. We got three things here I want you to see. Number six. As many as received him, them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that were believe on his name, which were born not of number six, blood. Born not of blood. Now watch me. You know, we wanna kind of allegorize things and put things in figurative words, and you know, the world, they know a lot of this stuff, but they have watered it down to it's just a sense of, it's just a frame of mind, you know, a change of attitude. Barack Obama says that we cling to our religion and guns up here in Pennsylvania. What's that implying? That religion is for weak people who need something to give them some stability. That's what it's implying. That's not what we're talking about. He says, procreated, born, made alive. Something that was dead is now alive. And only God has life to make something alive. And so he says, we were born not of blood. Well, what's that mean? I thought we were born again by the blood of Jesus. That's not what it's talking about here. Being born of the bloodline is not enough. The blood, the carrier of the human DNA. Well, you know what they said? They said, we have Abraham as our father. Luke 3:7 says this. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So in other words, if Abraham's your father, watch. You just confess that you're a sinner. If you're trusting the life you got from Abraham, you're trusting sin. Because sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, this is where you get things like, well, my parents are churchgoers. Last night at dinner, nice guy, our waiter, and Cedric was talking to him, and he says, you have a church? Yeah. Where is it? Well, it's my mother's church. There, listen, some say, well, my parents are churchgoers. Well, my grandfather's a preacher. Boy, he was a preacher. Now, my grandmother, she was a woman of God. Oh, she was such a woman of God. God has no grandchildren. We're not born again of blood. Human blood does not have the power to make us alive again. Letter C. What we get from human blood, our mortal lineage, is corruption. Corruption. Underneath that, disease. Number two, bad genes. If I didn't have bad genes, I'd be a thin person. But it's okay, identify as thin. No, wait, don't laugh at me. I identify as thin. You're going to hurt my feelings here. Bad genes, sinfulness. That's what we get from the blood. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for the law of sin, Romans 5:12. He wasn't born of blood. You say, well, you know, I'm from a whole line. My daddy was a preacher, and his daddy was a preacher, and his daddy was a preacher, and his daddy was a preacher, go all the way back. I don't care. Makes no difference. Certain churches say they think they go all the way back to Peter. And Peter laid his hands on this person, laid his hand on this person. Listen, no. John 8 says this, I speak that which I have seen from my father, and ye do that which ye have seen from your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me and a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. And they said to them, Why we be not born of fornication. They're implying that he was. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded, procreated from, came forth from, and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So we're not born of blood. It's not, we cannot inherit eternal life from our earthly parents. Number seven, born not of the will of the flesh. Now this is where a lot of folks are. Not of the will of the flesh. The word will there is determination. My choice, my purposed living. I tell you all to live on purpose. I say that all the time. Make a decision. Live on purpose. Don't just react. Act. Do right. Decide what you're going to do. Start getting, yield yourself in the morning before you ever start out. You've already made a lot of decisions for the day when you decide I'm going to follow Christ before you ever get out of bed. I can't do that because God wouldn't want me to do that. Well, so everything else is going to fall apart. Well, that's going to have to fall apart because this is not what God wants me to do according to his book. Your decision's already made. So I'm all for living on purpose. But wait a minute. I cannot by sheer determination be born again. Because once again, my flesh, letter B, I'm human. I'm a human. I'm mortal person. Mortal. You know what that means? It dies. You know why? Because in me is not life, but death. The only life I have comes from God. Letter C, personal fortitude. Some people say, though, I have this personal fortitude to live as a new creation. We cannot pull ourselves up with our own bootstraps. So I'm turning over a new leaf, but that's not being born again. As Dr. Belcher always says, you can turn the whole tree over, but that's not going to change who you are. Some people say, I'm turning over a new leaf. Well, I did that again last year. I'm going to turn over another leaf. No, we are taught, listen, you want something to change? You've got to have the life-giving power of God to come in you and let him change you. Now, your determination is to yield yourself to Him and keep our grimy fingers off of it. The real fight is to keep our hands off of what God's trying to do and simply do what He told us to do. He said, Lord, I can't do it, but here I am. I'm going to move in this direction. If you think you can do it, well, he resists the proud. So He gives a headroom. You're not going to get it, but He says, but He gives grace to the humble. Lord, I cannot do it. And He got like, okay, well, let's do it. But you've got to come to an end of yourself. You know the old saying, when you find that He's all you have, you'll find out that He's all you need. Sheer determination is not going to do it. Some folks will go through a traumatic experience, and then they look at life different, they value life differently, and then they'll say, I've been born again. I mean, no, they got a new attitude, and maybe some things straightened out, but they weren't born again. But that's what they'll say. Well, I got a new start on life. Well, that's good. Well, let's do it this time with God. Because if you don't do it this time with God, you're starting a life all over again. You're going to end up like you were all over again. You're going to have a mess. If it's not this mess, it'll be a different kind of mess, but it's going to have to be a mess. There's still going to be an emptiness. See, this is not a figurative language. Life is of God. You want life to come in to make you alive, to make you different in Christ. It's God that has to do it. Something dead cannot bring forth life, and we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We do not, and we cannot, become a new person by sheer determination. We will do different things. But eventually, it was going to bottom out on us. There's some people, it's almost like there's a work salvation. Watch. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But wait a minute, we quote that, but what to say after that? For we are His workmanship. Whose work? His workmanship, created, born of God, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He says, when Sterling comes alive, I'm going to be working on him to now be able to do what he needs to do, but doing it out of the new life that's in him. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. He says, I'm going to go in there and clean this all out and put a new life in there. That's what he's saying. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing, the revival of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly, how? Through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified to go in his presence, how? By his grace, not by works, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We get to have eternal life, not of us, not by works of righteousness we have done. But when we come to him and ask for mercy, he brings us mercy. He saves us and cleanses us through Jesus Christ. And when he comes in, he regenerates us. He makes us a new creation. We're born again, and we can have the spirit, that spirit of life that God breathed into Adam, we can have in us. And we're still in this old flesh. So you still got to remember Galatians 5, spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another, and you know they're fighting all the time. But the fact is, you have it in you. But to those who believe, had the power to write, the right to become the sons of God. Number 8. So we're born not of the blood, not of the will of your own flesh. And by the way, born not of the will of man. Letter A. Another sinner cannot pronounce an edict that's I or anybody else is now a new creation. And now I am. The word will there means, so the will of man is the same word, but has, in this particular case, it would be a decree, a determination, a decree to be pronounced, to make the decree because it pleases me. It's not the decree of a man, a human being. The decree of a human being does not make us now a new creation in Christ, because the life of God has not transferred into us. The life that's only in God is what's going to make the difference. And that doesn't happen until we come to God directly, repent of our sin, and ask for salvation. Some man cannot absolve my sins and pronounce me sinless and thus cause me to be a new creation. I am not a new creation because some man says that I am. No man has the authority to cause someone to become a new creation. And once again, non-life cannot bring forth life. Not even if he walks around with a long robe and a pointy hat and everybody bows down to him. I'm not trying to be mean, but he cannot make us a new creation in Christ. He's a man, not by the will of man. Only by God, because only God has the life. They're good Baptists. I call them good Baptists. They'll say, "Well, I'm saved because so and so told me I was." Well, you feel it? Well, I don't know, but so and so, when I prayed, they said, "Well, okay, you got it." The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. The children of God. Listen, I'm Sterling Walsh Jr. I'm Sterling Walsh's son. There's no doubt that I am, because he's just all over me. Things I do, even little things that I used to think were stupid little quirks, I got them. The way I sit in the chair, what I'll do, the whole way. My son makes fun of me. If I think, I do this. If I think a little harder, I do this. If I'm really thinking hard, I do this. I don't know. I never thought about it. But Nathan said one time, you said you do this. Now, if you really get into thinking, you know, you hold onto your cheek. And then you really get deep in thinking, all of a sudden you start hanging on your ear. And I thought, that's just silly, that's just stupid. What do you mean? I do. I started watching myself. And that's what my dad always did. We got this little tight chin, little crease right there. You got to keep yourself from cutting yourself when you shave. I mean, his was even tighter than mine, but there it was. But the little ledge there. You know? And I do what I sit there and I'll do the same thing with my hands, and I see myself. We got videos of my dad talking with his hands like this, you know, and I find myself doing it, because he is living through me in my flesh. But I can only become like Christ if Christ is living through me. And we know that we pass from death into life because he's given us of his Spirit. And what is his Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, faith, temperance are out of order. But you know what I'm saying? I know people say, well, I know he got it because he's not the same person. Oh, he got the same stupid sense of humor. He still laughs the same, and actually just laughs more. But you got this. But the fact is, it says there's something different, and that should be the Spirit of God. Now, it could be that you're saved and you've been telling the Spirit to sit down and shut up, or you're going to run the house. That could happen. But if he's in there, you're fighting this all the time. If you're not fighting it all the time, because he's not there. Well, I prayed a prayer. You prayed a prayer. You're like the publican who prayed thus with himself. But the Spirit comes inside you, there ought to be something different, because if there's no fruit, there's no root. Now, you can get yourself in big trouble, and you know, and it breaks your heart, and it breaks you down, and it just hurts you that you hurt the Lord. And that, well, you, and listen, but a righteous man falls seven times but gets up every time. Letter A. Number eight. Born not of the will of man, no man can pronounce it, no decree, no human, and some man cannot absolve my sins, not even one who walks around with a funny hat. Number nine. To be born again, one must be born of God. Why? Because the again part means it was like something that came before. What was that? That was Adam. But sin entered the world by one man, and death by sin. So how do we get it back? We each come back to him individually to get the life. Only the Lord is life. Thus, life can only come from the Lord. We are new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. In other words, what's going to make a difference? Some little operation? Change the way we dress? Change of how we spend our Sundays? Change what we do on Saturday to help somebody? The only thing that's going to, that makes a difference, are we a new creation in Christ? Have we been born again? Has the life of God now been entered into our life? 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even as in Christ shall all be made alive. We must be born again. Number 10. I'm sorry, we're running late. Number 10. Being born again is a supernatural event. Being born again is a supernatural event. Now watch me, and I don't hurt anybody's feelings, and we maybe have all done this sometime or another. I'm a good enough salesman. Got that from my dad. I can get just about anybody's head down. And just about everybody's mouth to repeat a prayer after me. Don't take this wrong. I have it within me to naturally be able to deal with people enough that I can win their respect and get them to pray a prayer with me, and I can take a chunk out of, I can put a mark in my belt and say, I got another one. But I haven't done anything but make them twice the child of hell, because now they think they're saved. What I can do, though, is to be a clean vessel before God and give the unadulterated word of God with the power of God and let God make that person a new creation. It's a supernatural effect. That's why, listen, if you're right with God and you know the word, anybody can lead somebody else to the Lord. Anybody could do it.
Well, I just don't have the personality.
You don't need the personality. Larry Stainer, down at Open Door, because of Open Door and then Dr. Smith, the sewer lord, kind of got to be known as Mr. Soul Winning. There was guys that are, and he had a big soul winning club at Open Door there. I was in the very first one he put together.
But this is the honest, goodness truth. You want to find somebody that's backward? It was Larry Stainer. He's gone to the Lord now, but it was Larry Stainer. He would get so nervous, oh my soul. He would, if you watched him lead somebody to the Lord, he'd
get it all done there. But he could do it. Why? Because it wasn't him. And I remember one of our best soul winners told me one time, in fact, it might have been at Larry's funeral. He said, Sterling, you know why I knew I could learn to win somebody to Christ? Because if Larry Stainer could do it, I could do it. It is just, watch, it is, being born again is just as supernatural as it was when Adam was made alive. God's life-giving power and force is still the only source of life in the universe. It may not change all what we do, but it could change a lot of things in how we do within our heart. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, this is what he told Nicodemus, remember? You must be born again. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, die, but have everlasting life, God-given life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light, and it was life, and the life was the light of men. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. We see God, we recognize him as God, but refuse to glorify him as God, Romans 1. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil cometh to the light, neither cometh to the light, but lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God did this. Have you been born again? Have you been born from above? Have you been born of God? I'm not asking if you prayed a prayer. I'm not asking if you signed a paper. I'm not asking if you walked down front. I'm not asking if you've gone soul winning yourself. I'm asking you, have you been born from above? I'm not asking if you come from good stock, from a religious background. I'm not asking if you are trying to give yourself a new start in life and you're determined to do it this time. I'm not asking you if you've become religious and sought acceptance from some organized church. Has God reactivated your spirit? Revelation 26 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." We've got to be born again. If you're born twice, you only die once. If you're only born once, you're going to die twice. Let's pray. I'm sorry, we're late. Father, we thank you for speaking to us here this evening. May every single one of us search our heart and make sure that we are indeed saved. We are indeed born from above. And if we are we now yielding to that life that's now part of who we are? And if we are we willing to be light so that others may come to the light? Speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you for it. Heads are bowed.